We are live. Okay, welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. I'm your host, Chris Kirkwood, screen name Kirk Dees, here with my boy, my co-host, the 100K winner of UFC. So I'm calling him the UFC Savant from now on. We got a big UFC slate tomorrow. But anyway, it's Brian Jester of Occupy Fantasy at Brian Jester FF, Court Jesters. And do you have a different FanDuel screen name, or is it?
Yeah, I do. It's BMJ87 on FanDuel, one of the rare people with different screen names on both sites.
Nice. All right, we're back for week lucky number 13. Once again, our show is presented by Yahoo. We are going to go talk about the week 13 NFL slate. We're going to go position by position, QB, wide receiver, running back, tight end, talk about some stacks. But first of all, how was your week last week? I know for me, it was freaking a disaster. It was awful.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was bad on Yahoo. It was, you know, predictably bad on FanDuel and DraftKings. But, you know, it's so funny, right? Like, we're such degenerates because you and I, literally the entire show last week, we said, this week sucks. It's hard to find value. We don't like any of the lineup constructions that we're looking at. And, you know, like a reasonable person would just sit out that week. But obviously, we could not do that. We both played. We both got crushed. And now we're on to week 13. But I will say I do like this week a lot better.
You know, and I didn't feel good. I hated everything. But then, like, going into Sunday, I, like, thought I liked my lineup. I thought I had a path.
Well, that's how you know we're insane, right? Like, we eventually talk ourselves into it at some point.
I was like, all right, Lenny is dumb, bad chalk. All these fish are going to play Lenny. And he's going to score 10 fantasy points, and I'm going to count my money by paying up for JT and CMC and Lenny, and I'm going to fade Gaskin.
That worked out.
Oh, man. I mean, it was just, like we said before the show, it just became laughable watching. So I thought the process was sound. Yes. Carolina, great defense against the run, right? The Bucks, the top number one passing offense. Right there. I thought it was a good spot to avoid. And then he has an absolute career game. And it just like this, I just remember like I could do nothing, even though I was miserable as I was, I could do nothing but laugh when he like broke off that, when he should have just downed it at like the 3 yard line or whatever at the end, of course, the end of the game. And he
just
barreled through for like a 22 yard touchdown. It was just,
oh my God. The acceptance part of the grieving process at that point. It was so bad.
Yep. All right. But we're going to figure out this week. Okay. It's a little different, but it's a little the same, same, but different. Some more clear plays from at the running back position, like running back is loaded.
Yes.
Right. I feel gross with most of the quarterbacks. So I'm still struggling there, and I kind of don't feel great about a lot of the running backs. I like some of them. So I like things a little bit better this week, especially at the running back position, but I still think it's pretty tough for QB at this point. Did you kind of have the same feelings?
For sure. So yeah, when I said I really like this week, it was running back, we get some clear plays that are very easy to play. And then wide receiver, there are some values, and then we have the range we always talk about. But yeah, quarterback is tough. It's not like we have any clear values. It's not like we have great spend up options because we have a couple guys off the main slate. We got a couple weather issues. So I do agree. I do agree. Quarterback is the toughest spot this week. And I think that'll be for those of you out there who make a main lineup or cash lineup, I think that'll be the toughest spot to figure out.
Yep. Okay. So let's just clear up a little housekeeping before we get started. Once again, this show is presented by Yahoo. Yahoo is the place to play. In my opinion, most of my action goes on Yahoo now. I've been like that for a while, and that's mainly because it's always been lower rake. I've found the competition to be a little bit lighter. I mean, there's still some good competition people, but they just don't focus enough on Yahoo because it's kind of a secondary site for them. So I think there's a good edge there, number one. But also, like, they've completely grown this season. They've just been, you know, printing money into the DFS economy with making, you know, some of these contests overlay, like the $1 million baller, which is the best contest in the industry. It's a $20 entry. It has 200K of guaranteed overlay. It is a minus 25% management fee. So they are just putting 200,000 in the pot. They can't make any money. They're losing 200,000 on this tournament. But, you know, what I have noticed is that the NBA action has grown significantly all of a sudden. And it's a lot of these players that they've got to come in here are now playing in NBA. So I'm bullish on the site going forward. But also they have the single game slates now, thank God, because I shipped one down last night, which kind of helped make up for my week last week. So that was nice. But they got the single Thursday, Monday, and Sunday night games. They do the single game contests, and they will have a live final this year. Unfortunately, by winning last night, I didn't qualify. It wasn't part of it. I looked after. I was like, "Oh, did I get a live qualify?"
If you solo take down a single game slate, that should automatically qualify you for.
Yeah, maybe I'll email and yeah. You know, say, ask, beg. All right. Anyways, so catch us on Yahoo. Play Yahoo. And Brian at Occupy Fantasy is doing his bankroll challenge over there. So how's that going, by the way?
Pretty rough. So okay, we got some ground to make up.
All right, well, let's do it. Okay, so week lucky number 13, 11 games, 3 games with at least 50 point totals. The first leading the way is the Bucks minus 10.5 at the Falcons, 50.5 point total. Then another game with a high total is the Chargers at the Bengals. Bengals are 3-point favorites, 50.5 point total. We got Washington at the Raiders, who are 2-point favorites with a 50 point total. From there, we've got some teams with some nice team totals, you know, in kind of blowout spots, what it looks like. The Rams are coming in with the highest team total at 30.25. And they are 13-point favorites against the Jags at home. They are coming off of 3 straight losses where they desperately want to get things turned around. They have done nothing but pump money into this team to make it, you know, with some elite players at a lot of different positions. Odell got his first touchdown last week. He's a little bit banged up. We'll see. Do you have a feeling whether he's going to play this week at all?
I'm reading no, it sounds like, according to the coaches.
I mean, you would think that they'd be good enough to just handle this team without him, but, you know, you never know. Especially when they've been losing like they have been, so it's been crazy. But we also have the Colts, who are 9.5-point favorites in Houston playing the Texans. They have a nice 27.5-point team total. And then we got the Vikings with a decent team total as they travel to Detroit against the Lions, where they have a 26.75 team total, and they are 7-point favorites. From there, I always start off about the up and pace games. I look at Derek Carty's The Blitz game level factors. I look for who he's projecting for the most plays. So unlike last week, which was kind of an anomaly, things make sense because I always cross check it with over at ETR, Pat Thorman, snaps and pace, and they are in alignment this week, which is good to see because they usually are in alignment. But last week they were completely you know, against each other because it was such a weird slate. So anyway, the games that they all project to have a bunch of plays are the Bucks at Falcons, that one with the high total. It is the Blitz most plays. Bucks games tend to have a lot of points. They have the league's most total points, second most plays. Bucks, like I mentioned earlier, are the highest passing team. Plus, they have the highest opponent pass rate, so they're kind of have their that pass funnel defense. You can't run on them. Everybody tries, and they're dumb when they do. If Vita Vea is in there in the middle, you cannot. There just are no holes to run through on this team. It's crazy, and everyone tries it, and they just look stupid.
Atlanta will definitely try.
Mike Davis, yeah, Mike Davis are up the middle.
Yes.
So that's a game. Then we got Jacksonville Rams that we talked about. Rams have allowed the third most points per game during the last month. Second most plays on the blitz game level factors for this week. It is a get right spot for the talented Rams after 3 straight losses that I mentioned. And then the third game that they, which I haven't really had any interest in, and you know, maybe I should, but is the Cardinals at the Bears from a projected play standpoint. And that's all hinging on the availability of Kyler Murray. Because when Kyler is at the helm, they play a lot faster. So those are kind of the up and pace games. But let's start out at QB with our top values and then our main preferred plays. I wrote down number one, top value, which I'm not sure how I feel about it because we're talking about main lineups here. But Carson Wentz at 23, and that's just simply a function of he's playing the Texans, right? Yep. So there's some good and some bad. So he had 306 passing yards last week and probably provides some leverage off of JT, although maybe people will be playing them together and just trying to, at least in the main lineup, trying to kind of get all the points in this game, you know. But you certainly could leverage off of JT and play a passing game Colts lineup. And the thing is that the Texans have been pretty good. DVOA 6 against the pass, but they're 25th against the run. But they have allowed a lot of fantasy production to QBs as their 21st in DVP against the QB, 24th for RB. But this just screams like a Jonathan Taylor spot. But I could also see Carson Wentz working out. So I had him down, and then I have two others that I'm kind of considering from value plays, and just a little bit expensive from Wentz is Taylor Heineke, where, you know, the first thing is he's playing the Raiders, who have been getting worse and worse. They started out pretty good on the defensive end, but they've been, you know, getting worse and worse each week. They are 25th in DVOA versus the pass, 20th in DVP versus the QB. He is mobile. The Raiders have allowed the ninth most rushing yards to QB. So I think it's kind of a sneaky spot for some rushing upside for Taylor Heineke. He has been a QB 13 on the season. So I think he's definitely fine. He pairs well with Terry McLaurin, right? Like, that's an easy pairing. So that's a plus. The other one I'm considering is Joe Burrow, $27. Now, this is an interesting one too, because he's playing the Chargers, who have become a run funnel. Like, they're just letting teams just gash them all game versus the run. And I think that's probably by design. And who's doing great for the Bengals recently? Well, it's been Joe Mixon, who's just been going out. So I'm sure they will test that and feed. So I'm a little skittish about Burrow. And then I just kind of starred Tua potentially. But that's what I had for values. Did you have the same ones? Do you have any different ones?
Yeah, so I do like Burrow and I like Heineke. I didn't include them in my value section. I basically just went with the cheapest guys possible that you could possibly play. And I did have Wentz as the number one. And I'm going back and forth on it because obviously it's a great matchup. His projections are driven by their high team total. But I just have this feeling that after last week, you know, Frank Wright got a lot of flack for all the passing plays that were drawn up. You know, they had the drive at the end of the game where they gave the JT a lot. They scored the touchdown. Fans and media were talking about their pass to run ratio. And in this game, I feel like they won't have to pass the ball. And if Wentz does get there, it's either Houston's way more competitive than we thought, or he just lucks into the touchdown variance in the red zone, which obviously could happen against Houston. But Wentz, as from a projection standpoint, is the top value. And then you can have guys like Tua and Trevor Lawrence and Jimmy G, none of which I feel great about, which means, Chris, I don't think in my main lineup I could play any of those guys. I would probably play a stud or one of those $27 or higher guys in my main lineup.
Yeah, so I wrote down Wentz. Like I said, I probably won't. I don't feel like I'm going to end up using him at this point. Heineke, I could. He's like the kind of play that I could like convince myself to be different and get onto. I think he makes a lot of sense. Burrow, it just seems really risky with this potentially being a mixing game, but he does have great passing game weapons, and so that game could shoot out. So that wouldn't shock me if he was pretty good at that $27 price point. But you're right. I'm kind of looking to pay up this week, especially because we will get to it in a little bit, but we have such, you know, pretty good running back value this week. So the three top end guys I was looking for, we'll start from the priced lowest, was Justin Herbert at 34. He hasn't played great, but the 44 passing attempts last week absolutely gashed the Steelers a couple weeks ago on the rushing side. I think he was like 90 yards he rushed for anyway or something, but and was like almost 400 yards passing. So it just went went. So we know the ceiling is there. This is a game against Cincy that I think could shoot out, depending. So the Bengals are 19th in DVOA versus the pass. So I am lukewarm on him. I'm kind of down to like Jalen Hurts. I want to play, but then there's that ankle issue at 30. He's $36. I just like the matchup here. And you know, he was terrible last week. Terrible. But he's playing the Jets. I will roster Head Chopper versus the Jets. I say that every week. It's the truth. The Jets, you can do whatever you want against them. They are 31st DVOA versus the pass, which is terrible. They are 30th against the run. We were talking pre-show that, you know, we'll get into it maybe that, you know, maybe we want to feel comfortable about a running back. I would feel comfortable that Hurts would be that guy, but we have that ankle issue this week and his drop back passing has been terrible. So there is a lot of risk there. So then if I'm like, okay, $36 and there's a lot of risk, why don't I just play Lamar Jackson at 38?
Right.
Right. And so that's where I'm probably going to end up on. Now, Lamar has not been great. He's been great on a season overall. These last 2 weeks, he's been extremely undesirable from a fantasy perspective. The Steelers defense has been brutal and, you know, is just getting worse and they're banged up. They don't have Joe Hayden. They don't have TJ Watt right now. So, like I said, Herbert rushed for 90 against them plus 382 passing yards. And we know what we're getting with Lamar. We're getting pretty much the best running back in the league with guy who's looked pretty good in the passing game recently. Just not in these last 2 weeks, but you know, he was definitely chucking it. Plus his weapons are all getting healthy, right? So he's got Bateman back. He's got Sammy Watkins. He's got Hollywood Brown. So he's got the core there. He's got Mark Andrews, who's just right behind Kelsey on the season in pretty much every category for top tight end this season. So Lamar is the standout one for me. What do you got?
I think this is one of the first weeks where my top guy and your top guy is not the same. I actually have Stafford as my number one main preferred play. So $32, they have the number one team total on the week, 30.5 points. Sounds like Odell's going to miss, but they were doing just fine without him before he got there. And so to me, this looks like a get right spot for Stafford. And again, $32 is kind of in that middle range price point where I think he's a little undervalued. And I think a big bump would be if Daryl Henderson is ruled out. He's questionable. Obviously, if he's out, that leaves just Sonny Michel in the backfield, perhaps a little more pass heavy. But I think he gets a good part of that 30.5 point team total. And, you know, there are some warts everywhere. So you're not going to feel comfortable with who you take at quarterback this week. But for me, breaking the tie with number one team total, I think is where I would go.
Yeah, so like I didn't even write down Brady either.
Right.
You know, and he's at 42. And I kind of have them in the same category, both, you know, teams that should handle their business this week. So I could definitely see it. I do worry about Henderson a little bit, but he is banged up. Sonny Michel would definitely probably be in contention for a top play at running back if that is the case. I just worry about it's just a personal preference now. I just gravitate towards the like rushing QBs every week. So I'm always trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like, I think a big game Lamar is coming from Lamar. And I think Pittsburgh just watching their defense each week just look worse and worse. It just makes me feel like that's the spot, but I get it. It's the Jags. And I just wrote it down and started. So I am going to have to, you know, rip into that more and consider him more since he's your main play this week.
Yeah, I mean, so
and this is great because you give me an out, right? Like if I lose and I play Stafford, I can just tilt and blame you and, you know,
that's fair.
Swear at you on
that's
Twitter.
That's fair. I mean, anyone,
how did they, we can blame anyone except ourselves. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's big. That's equity, right? Like, blaming someone else.
That's why people subscribe to sites, right? If they have a losing lineup, they can blame the site.
Number one reason. Yeah.
So if you guys play Stafford and he fails, feel free to at me on Twitter. But I think all this comes down to saying that the quarterback options are great for tournaments, right? You mentioned Burrow and Herbert. That game has one of the highest totals on the board, but it could be run heavy. We've seen these teams go run heavy. You mentioned Heinicke and Derek Carr. I actually do like that game a lot, and I could be convinced to play one of those guys in my main lineup, especially as we'll get to tight end. There's a value they could pair with Derek Carr. And then Brady, Cousins. I mean, there's a lot of good tournament options this week, and we've seen this slate before. We haven't seen it in a couple of weeks, but where we do have a bunch of large favorites, and that does dictate a little bit differently how you construct your lineups. So I do think it's if you don't play the same contest every week and you pick and choose, I think it's a much better tournament week. But the quarterback position is tough.
Yeah, and Tua could be good. Tua could be nice, mm-hmm. too, because especially now that Glennon is going to be starting. I mean, the Giants should be a disaster again.
Yep.
And so, you know, and Tua pairs well easily with Waddle.
True.
Although I do think that this is a Gaskin spot. And then there's, like, Andy Dalton at min price there in, like, just from like that game that's projecting to be a high paced game. I mean, that's gross, right? But we're searching for some gross options.
For sure.
Russ, what's up with Russ is $25. I'd be lying if I don't, he's looked terrible. And Pete Carroll is horrendous, right? Like it's nobody loves to run more than Pete Carroll, even with horrible running backs. And God, they did come out with some talk this week that they got to get Metcalf the ball more. So there is some coach speak there. And I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't if I don't look at Russ at $25 and think that, you know, this guy could break the slate for $25.
Yeah, I mean,
break right.
Yeah, obviously he's looked terrible. If you just take your eyes out of the equation for a little bit and you get Russ Wilson priced the same as like Jimmy G and Trevor Lawrence and $5 more than Dalton and same as Wentz and two, like it's
Matt Ryan. He's yes. Matt Ryan territory. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you got to think Russ turns it around a little bit. It's definitely the finger. You could see, just from a tape perspective, he's not stepping into his throws. Maybe he's worried about hitting his finger again. He's throwing high. He's going to get back to being healthy. And, you know, if they get the ball to DK or Lockett a little bit more, I completely overlooked him at 25, but on Yahoo, I could totally see that.
Yep. So I'm going to write him down, make sure I get a little bit of him. All right. Let's move it on over to wide receiver. All right. For values there, I wrote Hunter Renfro at $18. Waller is going to be out. Djax is banged up. Looks like he's going to be playing. The last I read, last week he led Raiders in targets, catches, and receiving yards. And this is all about matchup in a game that I like. I think that this game, you know, could definitely pop off against Washington, who is a pass funnel defense as well. Washington, they are 31st DVP to wide receivers as well, 30th in DVOA versus the pass. So Renfro just feels kind of safe from like a target projection. And he does, you know, he is an, you know, they're just lacking end zone threats. You know what was crazy in that Dallas game? They couldn't Dallas. How much is Zay Jones? Zay Jones got to be min price, is he?
Yeah, Zay Jones is super cheap. He's been getting opportunity and running
around. He looked really good. Like, first of all, I couldn't believe that Dallas couldn't so Waller leaves the game and Dallas could not stop Zay Jones. It was amazing. And like they were, you know, Pat PIs all game, which was crazy. That was a crazy game. But
yeah, knocked me out of the DraftKings Survivor. There was 100 people left, so that was very tilting watching.
I hammered them. I bet them hard in a parlay on a money line parlay where they just had to win.
Yep.
And they almost got there and it was just so brutal. And so I sweated every single play. It was the craziest
game bad.
From when you have a lot of money on yes. them. It was just
Zay Jones is $13, by the way.
Okay. So, I mean, nobody will play him. No one.
No,
he's not listed anywhere. And he looked good. He looked like the wide receiver one once Waller went out. So I think that's interesting. Not a main play for sure. I wrote down Van Jefferson as a cheap play with your Stafford guy. He was $14 if Beckham is out, which would make sense for them. Like, even if he's just hobbled a little, you'd think that they'd be able to handle Jacksonville without him. Van Jefferson at 14 could be in a good spot. They're obviously Cooper Kupp. We'll get to in a second here, but Jacksonville is 32nd in DVOA versus the pass, 27th DVP to wide receivers. Van Jefferson certainly could have some upside here. And then there's like, from a value perspective, there's two on the, you know, on the Cincinnati Bengals side always. You know, Higgins finally goes off, right? But he's still $15. And he and Jamar Chase are like comparable, like wide receiver ones. Like they're basically like the same. And you're getting, you know, Jamar Chase is down to, is at $27. Yeah, he has more of that big play upside, but Higgins is like the clear go-to, I think. And then there's Tyler Boyd, who's, you know, always going to be inexpensive, sitting there at $11. So if you need some cheap digging plays, those are the guys I had. Who you got?
Yeah, so we totally agree on Van Jefferson, Hunter Renfrow. I think they're by far the best values. Higgins, again, is too cheap. Other guys I wrote down, I think there's one more in that clear value tier, and it's Brandon Ayuk without Debo. So yep. Those four guys I think are the best options. If you're looking for super cheap guys, Marvin Jones, Jawan Jennings. Jennings apparently is going to be the number two without Debo. But I don't think you have to go that deep this week. I think those middle guys in Van, Renfrow, Higgins, Ayuk are the best plays. And then, of course, we have the spend-up options and the $20, the $25 range we love hitting so hard. There are a bunch of guys in that range this week. I guess the big question is, and I think the value at running back allows you to do this, Chris, is can you or will you pay up for Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, so you can. Am I going to? Probably not. Let me see here. Let's look at one thing.
He's $38 still. So
he's he's hitting optimal bills and optimal builds. Yeah, you can do it easily. I didn't realize how easy it is to get him. I think he will be popular. So there's a lot of safety there. How much is the ceiling in the spot? I don't know. You know, how much they run against Jacksonville in a game that they should be able to control. If like Jacksonville hangs in with them, Cooper Kupp could absolutely go berserk in this spot. So even at $38, there is a monster ceiling. I did have them written down. The range that I liked the best, I kind of started it with your Ayuk play. I was like $18 to like $22. Like there's three plays that I think are all really strong. So I think Brandon Ayuk, like you said, with Debo out, is a really strong play. I think Jalen Waddle at $21 is a very strong play. He's the clear wide receiver one. In a great matchup against the Giants, who in Miami should be able to win this game. And he's seventh overall in the league in targets, and he's got four touchdowns on the season. And so I'd be lying if I didn't like him. There's also Tyler Lockett, who has big game upside anytime at $21. Yes, their offense has struggled a little bit, but you know, he did have a couple of nice big gainers against Washington. He got 96 yards. He didn't get the go up for 100 yards for anyone who was playing a showdown that slate, but for the bonus, but and didn't get in the end zone, but certainly has a slate winning upside. Then there's my favorite of all of them is Scary Terry McLaurin, $22. The Raiders, 25th DVOA versus the pass. He's 7th in target share in the season, 5 TDs, 10th in targets on the season amongst all wide receivers. Clear wide receiver one with massive big play upside. Probably has more touchdowns, could have had more touchdowns this season so far. And he's cheap. He's $22. I definitely will have baller entries pairing him with Heinicke, but I think he'll probably be in my main lineup at least at this point. And then from there, we got like the choice I wrote down, like the high end guys. Keenan Allen is right in the middle at 25. And with him, you're just banking on tons of targets. His lack of TDs has hurt him this season. And, you know, if you dig into the matchup, it's a little, he's got like the tougher matchup against the Bengals. They have that really good slot corner, Mike Hilton or Yeah, I think it's Hilton. He's very good. But, anyways, Justin Jefferson is a beast at $32, kind of like right in between the Cooper Kupp and Keenan Allen range. He's third in receiving yards total, 10th in TDs. He's an alpha. He's getting better every week. He just is a beast and has a juicy matchup against the Lions and then the Cooper Kupp. So like that was my pool I wrote down.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the same page. I like all of those guys. Yeah, Cooper Kupp at the top, Justin Jefferson. I like Deontay Johnson too at 25. Both him and Keenan Allen are kind of in the same mode of getting there on targets. And Deontay Johnson's targets have just been crazy in games that he's fully played. So I think he's in the mix as well. And just one point about Terry McLaurin at $22, fantastic play. And this happens. This has happened a couple times for us as we've talked through the plays, and we end up on a game by the end of the show that we've talked about a play at every single position from that game. And I don't think this game is like super sneaky because the total is 50 and, you know, the highest total on the week is 50 or 50 and a half. But, you know, we keep naming plays from this game. So we got a couple of receivers. We're going to have a running back or two, a tight end. We talked about the quarterback. So I think stacking this football team and Raiders game is going to be profitable. And most of the guys are super cheap, which allows you to pay up elsewhere.
Yep. I mean, there's plays at every position because we're going to get to running backs in a minute, but Gibson certainly is going up now that JD McKissic has already been ruled out for this weekend. And then we do have the Moreau chalk at the tight end position on the Raiders to discuss. So anyone else you want to mention here before we kick it on over to running backs?
Yeah, I think we have to mention the Tampa Bay receivers in that high total game after disappointing everyone last week. And then if you can stomach it, DK Metcalf, right? The talk this week, you know, only a couple targets last week. We got to give him the ball more. He's affordably priced. If you want to go the Russ route, you can pair with him, or you can just play him by himself. But I think DK Metcalf, no one's going to touch him. And he has obviously has 2 touchdown upside.
I mean, you can do a double stack pretty easily of that one with Metcalf, Lockett too, as well with Russ, because he's priced at 25. Yeah. I mean, normally it's $35 for Russ,
right?
20, 29 for DK, and Lockett's usually always somewhere around that range. Yeah, I agree with all of those. All right, running backs. This is where we can feel good. Like, we got some really strong plays and also some real chalk where we can discuss potentially fading some of them. You know, coming in as the top value plays and probably the most owned two running backs on the slate are going to be, number one is going to be Alexander Mattison at $18. He's playing Detroit, 28th in DVOA versus the run, 28th in DVP to running backs. We have a template already of we've seen him with Cook out this season so far. In 2 games without Cook, he averaged almost 26 carries, 113 yards. He's going to be extreme chalk. Also averaged 7 targets over those 2 games. Super easy play, extreme chalk. Maybe we should handle it a little differently in the baller and take an underweight stance. But for a main lineup, I think he has to be in it. The other one, Jamal Williams, on the other side of that same game. DeAndre Swift is out. Minnesota is gotten gashed by the run all season. They're 29th in DVOA versus the run. So when Williams was out, Swift had 70% snaps. And so I think we can just kind of, you know, think that Williams will see the same 70% snap share if that's the case. You know, and this is a guy who had experience of being a 3-down back in the past when, you know, when Aaron Jones was out. So I think we know what we're getting with him, and he's cheap. He's $16. So I think he's a really strong play. If I had to fade one or the other, Williams would probably be the fade, I think, over Madison. But again, what's works against Madison is the fact that Justin Jefferson could go absolutely nuclear in this game. Adam Thielen is an end zone threat, could go absolutely nuclear in this game. So there are paths for him to fail, right? Like if some of these other guys have big games, Miles Gaskin. I feel terrible about this play because I thought he was such a good fade last week. I do like him this week, and it's not because of results of last week at all. It's basically because the Giants are so bad against the run. They're 31st in DVOA. This is a guy who just gets a lot of red zone carries. So he has 30 red zone carries on the season. He has not been very efficient. He was pretty good last week with them. So he's improving. Maybe the offensive line is getting a little bit healthier. And the Giants have allowed the 7th most rushing yards, the 6th most receiving yards to running backs. So Gaskin, I like, he's just still too cheap. I like him in this spot. And then there's Antonio Gibson. I'll let you talk about with McKissic out.
Yeah, so McKissick out, and obviously that opens up the passing game role, which was really limiting Gibson's ceiling for most of the year. And I think a lot of people, a lot of season-long fantasy drafters expected him to step into that full-time role, and it never materialized. But now we got Gibson with McKissick officially ruled out at $21. We saw Gibson have his highest target share of the season last week, and that should continue in a three-down role. And Ron Rivera already said that Jarrett Patterson would not fill that role. He talked about Wendell Smallwood coming up from the practice squad. None of these guys are going to threaten Gibson's role. And at $21, we get a three-down running back who's talented.
Who's electric. Absolutely electric.
Right? And he is. And so we get, so, I mean, this very, very clear value this week. All the guys you mentioned plus Gibson. And the biggest question, like you said, is Alexander Mattison and what we do with him. And Jim Sonnes, who's a friend of mine, he works at Number Fire. They're owned by FanDuel, so he gets access to all the FanDuel data. And he writes a lot of really smart stuff, him and I think alike. And so he wrote a bunch of stuff on Mattison this week. And he was writing it in the context of FanDuel, and that this week is different in two ways from the last couple of times we've played Mattison as a full-time running back. The first one is that his price is much different on those sites. FanDuel and DraftKings were tired of it, right? They just made him 7,600 on DraftKings, 8,700 FanDuel. But we don't have that problem. He's literally $18 on Yahoo. They're begging us to play him. But if you are looking for that reason to fade him, Mattison, if you look at efficiency metrics, he's like 35th out of 36 of qualifying running backs in expected points per play. So if he doesn't get the necessary volume, he might not get there. And then two, he had those big volume games when Cook was out, when the only other guy on the roster was Amir Abdullah. But now they have this rookie who's already had two return touchdowns, and Mike Zimmer has talked about they need to get him more work on offense. Kane Nwangu, who's looked electric. So if he does somehow eat into Madison's role and Mattison isn't as efficient, he could bust. But, I mean, Chris, $18 for this situation, that price, it's really, really tough to pass up, all that being said.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be in my main lineup. It's whether it's so in the baller, am I going to go under the field for him? I think I am. I think I'm probably going to – I think I projected ownership, I'm seeing like 35 to 40% projected ownership at this point right now. So I'll probably cap him at like 25% just to be a little bit under or something. I think maybe that is an approach.
Yeah. But the issue is, right, like if he was the only guy, that would be tough. But we have a lot of value guys this week. So Jamal's $2 cheaper. Gibson's $3 more expensive. We might get Sonny Michel at $13, right? So, you know, he could do well and still not make the optimal lineup. It's not like he's the only smash value guy on the slate.
Yep. And then, all right, there's another range here too. So then a little bit up from there, we've got to at least talk about Lenny again.
Are you ready to talk about it?
Oh my god. So he's $25, but he's in a great matchup this time. So that's the thing, is I thought the matchup was so bad, the offense passes so much. But like then looking back on it, I was like, well, maybe I should have been a little bit higher because of, you know, the Bucks were decent favorites in a good spot. You know, they're 11-point favorites in a good spot against Atlanta, who is bad. This is a really strong matchup for Fournette this week. Almost 8 targets per game over the last 3 is kind of what stood out to me. So he is a passing game weapon, and I just know from being the New England guy and just always with Brady, it's like he's always looking to utilize the running back in passing plays. So I don't know. I'm gonna be stubborn. I'm gonna fade him again, I think.
At least he's not the chalk this week, and he won't destroy you if.
I think he's gonna be pretty chalky though. I think there's gonna be I think so, but maybe that comes down now with a lot of this news breaking. So I'll probably look to ownership a lot on this one as we get closer to Sunday.
That's fair. Because I mean, we have those cheap guys, and then we have Jonathan Taylor, who we haven't really talked about. Yeah. Obviously, in a great spot. But if you take away the stud plus the values, then there's that range that's really nice. Mixon is priced up more this week than he has been all year. But again, we talked about the matchup already. Run funnel, great spot. Eckler, James Conner, Elijah Mitchell, like all these guys are in great spots too. So there's a lot of ways to differentiate if you don't believe in the stars and scrubs method this week.
Yeah, and Josh Jacobs is even there, a little bit banged up. Potentially, but he's $19. But the thing with him is the touchdown equity that you can, you know, they do like to get him into the end zone. So that's there. But yeah, so like that, then the next range, it's Jonathan Taylor. Well, the next range actually is Joe Mixon and Austin Eckler, who are both in fabulous spots. It's a little bit of sticker shock with mixings. He's been, you know, so much cheaper all season, but you know, this guy's been great. Like, workload has been amazing. The matchup is amazing against the Chargers, who are 32nd dead last DVOA versus the run. And they just dare you to run it and run it and run it all game. And that Cincinnati will oblige and will feed Mixon. And he's looked awesome. So I like him. I like Austin Eckler on the other side, since he allows the most targets to running backs. I mean, what does that spell? It spells Eckler, right? Like, and they've allowed 10 more targets to running backs than any other team in the NFL. So I think that's a good spot. So I think there's a lot of options here. There's Cordarrelle Patterson, right?
Yep.
Who, yep. You know, broke, you know, was a huge piece for winning lineups last week. And you get that nice wide receiver. I mean, so that's what it is. We've been talking about this, is that, you know, you're getting legit wide receiver upside with him, although he only had 3 targets last week. But, you know, he was extremely efficient in the running game. He did get in the end zone. And there's a lot more meat on the bone in the passing game with him, you know, even on weeks like that. And they were supposed to, you know, that was his first game back. Right. He was hobbled up, and so he passed the test. So I think we can expect a lot from him this week. Like you said, Eli Mitchell, like that was someone, like I was saying, like who did I, you know, I'm sitting there like drooling over Dalvin Cook last week or CMC, when in like totally forgot about Eli Mitchell, and
without Jamichael Hasty, right? And he just,
yeah,
3 down
and like. And once he started going off, I was like, how did I, was so stupid. Why didn't I just play this guy? Right. Like, so he's in play. Man, I could get behind David Montgomery. I don't know. We'll see. He's someone I actually like more than, and general consensus. I've always thought he's an extremely good running back. Maybe it's, you know, maybe that game, you know, with the increased plays, maybe the Bears will feed him a bunch. I don't know. It's not doesn't feel great, but $22. He's got to be in that range for me. I'm trying to look here if there's anyone else.
I got one gross play for you.
We got it, and then hit us with Miles Sanders.
Oh, that wasn't even the gross play, but
yeah,
the Sanders. Yeah, with so Jordan Howard already ruled out. Boston Scott hasn't practiced all week with an illness, still questionable to play. And now they get the Jets. So,
and Hurts with an ankle issue, you know, right, with a sprained ankle.
So will they actually give him the ball? Will they play him more than 50% of the snaps? That's the big question. You'd have to think if they do, this is the spot.
That's who I was talking about. Like I was so eager to play a bunch of Miles Sanders last week that I totally forgot about Eli Mitchell. That's what it was. That's what I was saying.
That feels real good after the game's end.
Yeah.
God. The gross play.
He only got 9 rushing attempts, like Sanders, like in a game where I thought they were going to pound it with him. So it's,
I know he got banged up a little bit, but he was fine on the sideline. So I don't know. It's surprising that he doesn't get a full workload. But the last play I'll give you is your boy, former New England Patriot, Rex Burkhead. So Ingram's gone. Phillip Lindsay's gone. David Johnson didn't practice, likely out on Friday. Now we get $10 Burkhead with no one else to compete with touches. It is the Texans, but he has $10.
Yeah, 30, he's there. I just ignored him, but like,
yeah, 33 touches the last 2 games, and that was with David Johnson. So
I just don't think I need to go there.
I don't think you do either. Maybe in tournaments you played a little differently and you get a couple extra studs in and play Burkhead.
And I just don't see them being very successful against the Colts, but maybe I'm wrong. He's min price, so I get it too. Like, he's got the full, and he could be utilized in the passing game.
Yeah.
He should be, you know. I could do that, a little of that. All right, we got anyone else, or let's move it on?
I can definitely conclude that segment with Rex Burkhead for sure.
Yeah, there's just not a lot to say after that one. All right, let's close it out with tight end, where you have in someone who's going to be extremely chalky, I think, Foster Moreau, with Darren Waller out. Washington 30th DVOA versus the pass, 20th DVP to the tight end. Week 7, Waller was out. Moreau had 100% of the snaps. That's probably the biggest indicator we need to see. He had a decent game. He was 6 for 6, you know, had 6 targets, made all 6 catches for only 60 yards and a touchdown, but that's certainly fine for an $11 price tag. If that happens again, could blow that through the water too in this matchup. So, like that, Kyle Pitts is just like, man, he's busted everybody all season long. He's price has come down a little. He's $17 in a game where they're going to have to pass to keep up with Tampa. But the problem is, will they keep up with Tampa? I mean, that, you know, so that's tough. But, you know, Tampa is a pass funnel. It would make sense for Pitts to, you know, be good. And especially with having Cordarrelle Patterson, like that's a big key, having like both of those guys, at least if there's just one, it's just too easy to shut the one down. I don't know. Then there's Dallas Goedert, who I played for his half a fantasy point last week, I think. I got point, nice 0.5 from him. But is against the Jets. I am going to, you know, go down swinging with Dallas Goedert. He needs to be utilized more. He's run bad in that game the week before where he could have had 2 touchdowns, which he didn't. I don't know what, I mean, Hurts was just horrible against the Giants, and that game was just awful, an awful bust. I mean, from all angles, as it was only 20 points total scored in that game. But, you know, looking ahead, I can get behind him. And then we have like 3 top end plays, right? Like that at least make you feel a little better. Number one would be Gronk. It's insanely obvious to anyone watching the Bucs that, you know, he is the safety valve for Tom Brady. When there's a big play to be had, he's going to Gronk. He's always looking for Gronk. There's that trust, that chemistry there. 10 targets, 123 yards last week. Did not find the end zone. Still was a great play, just on volume. He looks healthy to me, and that's like the most important thing. He's, I don't know what he's on, but he looks amazing this season. Then there's Mark Andrews, $22. And we can fit all these guys because of the value at running back. And, you know, especially if we, you know, like the lower range of QBs, or if we fade Cooper Kupp. Mark Andrews is pretty much second in every category to Kelsey. Targets, catches, and in tight end receiving yards across the board. So he's number 2 in everything. Not a ton of touchdowns, but you know, Lamar is going to get, he's going to come out in one of these weeks. And Andrews is his clear guy. Did have a touchdown in the last week, last time they played. So I like him on the high end. I also, any pairs with Lamar easily. And I like George Kittle. I mean, when is Kittle going to explode? Well, it could be this week without Deebo Samuel, right? Like maybe it won't be because I don't know what they're doing. They're just not utilizing him enough, but it would make a lot of sense, and he's only $23, and it wouldn't shock me if he rips off for over 100 yards and has 2 touchdowns on the day. And, I mean, he's a beast. So that's what I got.
Yeah, no, we're all completely on the same page, right? Moreau should be the biggest value, probably the chalk tight end, because it's only, again, only $11, 100% of the snaps. It's hard to pass that up. So to me, the easiest pivot is to just pay up at the position. And I agree with all 3 of those top guys, Gronk, Andrews, Kittle. And yeah, if Kittle's going to explode, it's going to be without Deebo, who's commanding. You know, his target share hasn't been obviously that impressive, but his usage in the run game has taken plays away from the other playmakers. And this would be a game that they could get Kittle more involved. So I like paying up at the position this week. Obviously, I think Moreau's a great play, but if you're looking for a differentiation spot, that's easily one. Do you have a preference of those 3? Which one you'd rather play?
Which 3?
Gronk, Andrews, and Kittle.
I mean, my New England homerism, so Gronk sticks out. I really don't at this. I mean, George, I just have that feeling that Kittle's going to erupt.
Me too. Spidey senses, like it's tingling. Like I feel it too. And there's no tangible data, but I think we've played long enough. We see these spots and we know when it's going to happen without fully being able to explain it.
Yeah. And we just know there's a ceiling there. From past. So, and it just makes too much sense. But, so I think Kittle would be my guy, and he'll probably be, let me check out a project. He'll probably be the least owned of all of those guys. Like, I don't see him projected for much ownership at this point. Maybe that'll change as we get going. But, you know, he hasn't really deserved much love. He did have a decent game against Arizona, who that also leads us to Cole Kmet, who's playing Arizona, a little bit banged up, but he returned to practice this week. He got 11 targets last week. The problem is there's always that some reason they love to go to Jimmy Graham.
So annoying.
Yeah, but you know, from a target perspective, Kmet, and he's min price, so I can get behind that. Gerald Everett. I think he's had more over the last three games, has had more targets than both Lockett and Metcalf.
That's a cool offense.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's cheap too. And if you're looking for a cheap pivot away from Moreau, he could be their guy.
Yeah. So Kmet and Everett would be the pivots. Jared Cook is in like a top matchup against the Bengals, who are really struggle against opposing tight ends, but it's extremely volatile. You know, he doesn't command a ton of targets each week, but I could see him being a decent pivot. No thank you on James O'Shaughnessy. I know people are going to start touting him a little bit maybe, but I wish Logan Thomas was cheap.
I know. Well, I was just about to say, I kind of like that range for tournaments, right? People are going to pay down or pay up. If you that $18 to $19 range with Logan Thomas, Mike Gesicki, Pat Freiermuth, like, and you can include Kyle Pitts in that range as well. Like, I don't think they'll be that popular. They'll go overlooked, and all of them have touchdown upside. So I think it's good tournament options if you're playing a bunch of lineups to include those guys.
Yep. There's Gesicki against the Giants. Yeah, $18. Yeah, I guess that's it. All right. What about stacks? You got your eyes on any what's your favorite stack? And what's that stack that you know you're going to end up having but doesn't feel great?
Oh, man. So I think it's kind of one and the same, right? I really do like it, and I do think I'll end up having it, is that Heinicke Carr side. You like Heinicke, so I'll take the Carr side here. I think Derek Carr, you compare him with $18 Renfro, $11 Moreau. If you want to get frisky, $13 Zay Jones. Like, lots of different ways to play it, and it just allows you to do so much with your lineup. And it does have a sneaky high total, so – just pray that Josh Jacobs doesn't get all the touchdowns in that game.
All right. I got a favorite stack that just came to me because of the show, I started talking about these players more than I anticipated during the show. Who was I saying that just stood out to me? That was like sneaky $25 Russ.
Hell yeah.
What do we got? We got Coach Speak with DK Metcalf about getting him more involved. You have to get him more involved. Got reduced price there, $26. What do we have as a bring back? Well, we just talked for a couple minutes on George Kittle, how we just had our Spidey senses on there. So I think that is my favorite stack as of finishing this show. So Russ to Metcalf, bring it back with Kittle. And there's so many ways you can fit.
You could
layer in Jamal Williams and Madison Chalk with that, because knowing that Russ probably won't be very chalky, you could play Jonathan Taylor too. All three of them could fit. You can do a lot there. And then my main one, you know, at this point, for my main lineup, it's probably going to be Lamar. So if I'm going to stack with him this week, if I do a main lineup, I'll just do it at the tight end and play Andrews with him, and not have to worry about Hollywood or Bateman, and just hope that he clings to Andrews. And then I probably won't even bring it back, because this will be like a main lineup, so I probably wouldn't bring it. But if I did, it would be Deontay Johnson or Claypool. He still slings it to Claypool. He's just so inaccurate. He never has a chance. It's like, because so Ben is just so bad. It's been a painful NFL season in general to watch a lot of these. Like, the product has gone down this season, don't you think?
I've been saying that. I mean, I love football more than most of my family members, right? And I'm every Sunday I'm watching it. But you got to admit, at some point, like, the product has gone down. If I didn't play fantasy or DFS, I'm not sure I'd be watching every single weekend.
And the officiating is brutal. Like, they're calling like just ridiculous. And there was nothing was on display more than that, than the Cowboys game. with all, like, every single pass play was PI.
It's unwatchable. Like, no one wants to see that. Who wants to?
And so, and I counter that with NBA this season, which aren't calling fouls, right? So they're, Harden's getting hacked and they're just like, nope, sorry, we're not calling it. And like, it's more fun, you know.
Harden haters are loving that.
Yeah, but they're letting them play, which is all we kind of really want, right? Like, just let them play.
Yes, we're here to see the athletes, not the officials.
Yeah, I don't want to see a Hockley or his son Hockley. Any, you know, sick. The fact that I know Ed Hockley, and I don't want to know who these people are.
Right, it's like offensive lineman. If you hear their name, it's a bad thing.
Yeah. All right, it's been a good show. I feel really good about that, Russ. I'm gonna. I know I'm going to talk myself on to him and maybe the main lineup. And then it's going to be like, is Adrian Peterson going to be playing in this game?
If Carroll, it's up to Carroll, he'll get some carries for sure.
And I'm just going to say, why? How stupid was I? all right. So this has been week 13, the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. And we will catch you back next week where I will be recording from Las Vegas. Psyched. All right. Thanks.